are just beautiful in every way. He hugged her then, and she hugged him back. Livia? She shook her head. Strangeland was looking at her. LT? Your demons. Did you exorcise them?
Sorry.
Yeah, I think so. Strangeland nodded slowly, presumably a little thrown by the way Livia had faded out for a second.
That's good. We need you here, Livia. Seattle needs you. A lot of scumbags to put away.
Livia nodded. Anyway, glad you're back.
Thanks, LT.
She turned and left. It was good to be back, she had to admit. She was tired, but that was to be expected. The main thing was, she'd faced her demons, as she told Strangeland, and killed them. They were all dead now. Chapter 33 Docs flew to New York. Kanazaki had told him about a memorial service at the UN for Van. It was a lot of important-looking people, and a few of them even made some okay speeches. But Docs got the feeling none of them had really known the man or adequately appreciated him. They talked about his compassion, but he doubted they understood it. When the speeches were done, they'd go back to whatever they'd been doing and go on doing it just the same way. Like you? Well, that was fair. He'd have to think about it. He sure didn't want to wind up like those burnouts in Pattaya. He wished old Van were around so they could talk about it. He'd really been hoping for that philosophical conversation. After the service, he and Kanazaki took a stroll. The day was humid and gray and drizzling.
I like walking with you under these umbrellas in New York, Doc said. It satisfies my latent urge for more cloak and dagger in my life.
Kanazaki laughed. I think you might get a little break from all that, if you like.
How do you mean?
Dylan's death is being dealt with quietly, and with Sorm and his network wiped out, you don't have anyone else coming after you. At least, not from that direction.
Well, that's good to hear. On top of which, DIA is out of the human trafficking business. For now, anyway.
Kanazaki nodded. For now, with that much money in play, they'll try to get back in. And others, too.
Maybe you can make that a little more difficult, what with the scales gone from your eyes and all.
Kanazaki gave him an enigmatic smile. Docs frowned.
What?
Van, he really was a good man.
He was. How'd you know him, anyway?
He was a friend of my father's.
Sounds like there's a story there.
Maybe for another time.
You knew him well, then?
This time, Kanazaki's smile was more knowing than enigmatic.
Yes. Doc stopped. Hey, man, what are you not telling me that's making you look so smug?
Kanazaki didn't answer. He just kept smiling, though there was some sadness in his eyes as well. All at once, Docs realized.
You were working with him. That's why you wouldn't let me kill Sorm at first. Not because he was a DIA asset. You could give a shit about that. You wouldn't let me because Van wanted him alive and behind bars.
Kanazaki nodded. I actually thought you were going to figure it out sooner.
Now you're just being mean.
Maybe a little. But in fairness, there was a hell of a lot going on. I guess you could use that as an excuse. Docs laughed.
Thanks, I appreciate that. I'm glad to know you were helping him, even if I should have seen it sooner. Really glad. But how?
Where do you think Van was getting the intel on Sorm that led to the indictment in the first place?
Docs grinned and clapped him on the shoulder. Well, Kanazaki, you wily bastard, you. I really should have known.
I'm glad you didn't. If you could have spotted it, it would mean others might have also. And actually, I almost wish they had. It might have drawn some of the heat from Van. Maybe they wouldn't have gone after him. Or I could have...
That wasn't your fault, son. I tried to warn him myself.
Kanazaki nodded. Well, we'll never really know. And we'll always have to live with the doubt. But yeah, I gave Van everything CIA ever had on Sorm. It was a lot. Do me a favor. Don't tell Elle the specifics. Though maybe you could just mention to her that not all of us in the community get in bed with the Sorms of the world. Some of us are trying to stop them, even if we have to break a few community rules along the way to do it. It was polite of Kanazaki to still call her Elle. Labi had told Docs who she really was,
and he knew Kanazaki must have tracked down Seattle PD sex crimes detective Livia Lone, but only Docs would know her as LaVie.
I'll tell you, son, this is a dirty business we're in, and that's never going to change, but I'm damn proud to know one of the few truly good guys.
Back at you. They started strolling again. I really am sorry for doubting you after the late unpleasantness in Pattaya, Doc said. I'm sorry for being so gullible about Dylan's bullshit that I almost got you killed. It was an honest mistake, and it all worked out in the end. I shouldn't have been so hard on you.
Kanazaki stopped. You want to make it up to me?
I knew I shouldn't have said anything.
I have something new for you.
Docs laughed. Partner, I am taking a vacation. Don't call me. I'll call you.
Don't make me wait too long. I don't know that many people I trust.
Doc smiled and held out his hand.
Now that you mention it, I only know a few myself.
Chapter 34 There was so much to catch up on at headquarters that Livia didn't get back to her loft until after dark. She took her shower, but cool this time rather than scalding. Her skin was still too raw. She sat at her desk and caught up on paperwork while eating some rice and vegetable takeout she'd brought in. Between the shower, the meal, and the jet lag, she was suddenly exhausted. She walked over to the shrine, kneeled, and lit the candle and the incense. She remained still for a while. Then she said in Lahu,
I met a good man, Nassan. A really good man. He helped me. He's a friend.
Her eyes filled and she paused, then added,
I tried to save you, little bird. I tried so, so hard.
She sobbed for a long time after that, just letting it pass through her, knowing eventually it would. When it was done, she caught her breath and said,
I killed them, little bird. All of them. Squarehead, Dirtybeard, the two other men who helped them, and a man called Sorm, who was behind the whole thing, and so many others like it. They're all gone now. Dead. All the men who hurt us. They're dead. They'll never hurt anyone again. It's done. It's over.
She was so exhausted. Empty. She had to sleep. Yes, just sleep. Sleep. She wiped her eyes and blew out the candle. And in that darkness, knew the truth. It wasn't over. It wasn't. And no matter what she did, it never would be.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of The Night Trade by Barry Eisler, performed by the author, directed by Laura Grafton. Performance copyright 2017 by Brilliance Publishing, Inc. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.